B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Long dick, but yeah. She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
There we go. Holy cow. Here we go. Good win.
Good job, buddy.
How you feel, cowboy?
Feeling good.
Look good, brother.
Woo, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Back to the winning ways.
I felt that was getting back a little bit of Patriot football there. Plus five turnovers. All right. Taking good care of the ball. Four picks and a fumble recovery. 175 yards on the ground. All right. Making progress. Making progress. That would be a winning formula. Don't turn the ball over. Run the ball. Play good in the kicking game. Play good defense. All right. That'll win for us. Okay. We qualify for the playoffs today. It's the 11th straight year. So we'll be playing football. All right. Short week. Got a lot to get. You know, got to turn this around quick now. Let's get some rest. Come in here Tuesday ready to go. All right. Big game here. Let's keep grinding it out here. All right, be ready to go against these Bills. All right, congratulations, man. That was a good job. It was a good week. All right, and good job here today. Okay?
Yeah. All right, fellas, man. It feels good to be back in this circle under these circumstances. I never take for granted the opportunity to be in this circle with you, man. Love you guys, man. How do we feel, though, about coming on back to Burkhead and Sanuland and getting the dub?
Burkhead and Sanuland. Whereas the laws of physics do not apply. And one can fly like an angel.
I don't know if Sanuland, if what we saw this weekend was Sanuland, I don't know if that's quite the greatest place to visit.
Well, listen, it's Cincinnati. It's a lot of pressure going back there. If you were worried about the commute today, you really should be. There's absolutely nothing happening. Except for every salt truck in the history of mankind is out. And they're predicting, like, I don't know what they're predicting on TV. They're like 85 inches of snow.
It's like 7:30 is when it's supposed to start. Is that, that's the last I saw. Like in the 7 o'clock hour, I think, is when it's supposed to start dumping buckets.
Well, and AccuWeather and weather, it's like it's going to be nothing. But then on TV, they're like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I read something online. I think I might have seen the local CBS, like WBZ, reporting something on Twitter that that's when it's supposed to be. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, there are conflicting reports. But actually, there's video right now in the city of Boston. It's snowing.
Okay, because it says it's snow and sleet this morning up to 1 inch is what I'm seeing.
Okay, well, if it's just 1 inch, then.
Yeah.
They closed some schools today, too.
Yeah, some late openings at some schools as well. Yeah.
Around me, Tuesday's a short day. Might as well just close the song, bitch. But I didn't get an email.
Yeah. So that is, I mean, the roads, I guess they're saying, are pretty. So you got stuck behind some of those salt trucks this morning?
Dang, it's stuck behind them. It's just that there were 500 of them. I mean, sort of. But, I mean, they were 500 of them. I mean, the ground looked like it had snow on it, but it wasn't. It was just
it was salt.
Yeah, it was just a mass amount of salt.
Yep.
So if you're worried about the ice, no need to be if you are in the environs of Roxbury or Dorchester. They have those streets ice or salted like you wouldn't believe. Very good for the car. Now, Joe Murray is in, and Joe Murray takes the fans, the listeners, and he does not care for them on several occasions. He gets angry at them at Twitter. He remembers phone calls, like names and phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a specific man.
Yes.
So tell the tale.
Over the summer, Rich, I do the Joe show on the weekends here.
Yep.
So I sit in a chair. It's me yelling and people call in and we fight. It's pretty much the show where I watch games and we just gamble. So there's a local caller, Danny from Quincy. You may have heard him before. And the guy just rattles off.
I haven't.
And
I have not either.
That's fine. He likes to rattle off. He's somewhat of a famous caller, I guess, if you want to call him that.
Well, famous caller, all right.
And I had a take on Josh Gordon this year. I just thought that the Patriots didn't need him. At the beginning of the year when he came back, I said, they just don't need him. He's just, you know, and I get it. He's a flyer. If he works out, it's awesome. It didn't work out. We were curious why they cut him to begin with. And yesterday, of course, we get the news about Josh Gordon. But I was made fun of for this take. I don't care about his health or his wealth or anything like that. Or
sure.
I just don't like him as the football player. I don't think the Patriots ever needed to take another risk on a guy that may not be there. And what happened? He got let go. They punted on him. He goes to Seattle, who's in a playoff run, who needs a wide receiver. And at the same time, a year ago, the same date, 1 year ago, he cannot play football anymore. I think this is the fifth time.
So
he's been suspended.
Okay, do me a favor. There is how long does it take? We learned this with him actually, I think last year. How long does it take from when a team finds out that somebody's failed to when he gets suspended? Because I'm starting to think, and this is kind of our speculation, when he got not cut from the team, when he was put on IR and then, I guess, released, that they knew that he had failed the test at that point and that it was going to take a couple of weeks for him to, you know, for everything to be made official. Didn't that happen last year? Didn't they know? Like a long time before it was made official.
They traded for him. He was going to get released after week one.
It's like a month, and that would fit this timeline, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Okay.
And just, I people wanted to call it the joke show at the time. You know, to make a pun on me. What do I know?
Now, was it a lot of people or was it joke?
Oh, there was a lot of people. Well, it was the joke show. It was like, you know. You know what you're talking about.
Oh, Danny for Quincy.
Danny for Quincy. It's just, I don't want to take the victory lap today, but you know what? Like, this is the least dependable guy in the league. We all fell for it, too. We all fell for it. And all the fans, all these biased Patriots. I'm actually so sick of biased Patriots fans. I'm a diehard. I'm a season ticket holder. Like, I'm sick of biased Patriots fans who don't look at things in reality. Like, right now, the wide receiving core sucks. It sucks. And you got to get N'Keal Harry going. They played Jacoby Myers for weeks over their first-round pick. But they traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Like, he sucks, too. Sanu land, he sucks.
See, I understand why at the beginning of the year you might have thought they didn't need him. Because remember I was talking about it was like an embarrassment of riches with wide receivers. I understand that take. But, I mean, it was such a low-risk thing to have him on the team. I don't know why it was a big deal to have him on here.
Because at any time.
And they knew that.
This could have happened.
But you gave up nothing.
They traded for him. But, yeah, they gave up nothing. You're right.
Well, no, but then they traded for Sanu.
Yep, they gave up a second-round pick because they had to make a trade.
Yeah, so they gave up a second-round pick. Yep.
And last year, they didn't do that, and they won the Super Bowl, so whatever.
Well, no.
all I'm saying here is the guy who's the biggest risk in all of football, the guy did it again. And listen, I wish him the best, but, you know, this is a problem.
You know, we can stop saying that. I mean, that's the one thing about it, because, I mean, everyone feels that they have to hedge the Josh Gordon thing with, listen, we all want him to be healthy. Of course.
Yeah,
that goes without saying.
I don't think you have to go like, I don't want him to die.
Thoughts and prayers.
But the guy seemed like a great guy, right?
Of course.
Well, but the guy can't play in the league anymore.
But the one thing you have to do.
I'm out on him. Out.
That's the thing that's kind of helped him is that he's, by all accounts, a good guy. And everyone wants him to succeed. But if you look at it practically, yes, it's something that is not ideal.
Just from a football standpoint, I mean, and when the Patriots picked him up, it was one of those things where you're like, all right, well, this is a last case. And, you know, this is really the last chance you can give this guy. And then he did it to him again. And then he got a second last chance with the Seahawks, or actually with the Patriots once again when he returned. And the Seahawks didn't know at the time that he had failed his drug test, or maybe they did know and they thought they could just use him for a couple of weeks. See, I wonder what the case is with that. Like, let's say he did fail his drug test and the Patriots knew about it. Do you think the rest of the league knows about it when that happens? So what we're saying is that Seattle more than likely knew they were going to have him for just a couple of weeks.
Yep. probably.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and yesterday, Pete Carroll trying to say all the things that we say every single time this happens with Josh Gordon.
Mm, sure.
But no, Bill Belichick punted on him. They could no longer depend on him. They needed him during that stretch. They needed him. They could have brought him back. They didn't have to put him on IR. They didn't have to do that. And like saying all these things like, oh, he doesn't run as fast on the treadmill and all this stuff. Like, the guy can't stay in the league. He can't stay in the league. Listen, I'm all for people getting second chances. I'm a weed guy. This guy can no longer play in the league.
Is it weed?
They don't know. They won't say.
Because if it's weed, I mean, Major League Baseball and the NBA have stopped.
Well, we don't know. As a matter of fact, even from last year when he was out of the league, we still don't know what substance it was for. And this time around, we don't know as well. So it's just weed was his past. It doesn't mean that's what it is now. And there's been talk that maybe it's something worse than weed. I just think that if you're still suspending guys because of weed, I mean, what are we doing?
He's done. He's done. They tried. Everybody tried. Three teams have tried.
Yeah, the five commissioners times tried. Yep.
Brady tried. Everyone has tried. You can't play with Russell Wilson or Tom Brady. Like, you can't get it together. I'm out.
So I don't know why they test for any drug that's not performance enhancing.
Well, it's him. He's already in the program. That's the thing. These other guys can do what they want. It's just they don't get caught.
I see what you're saying, Fred. I mean, why should it matter what people do as long as it's not performance enhancing?
Right.
I understand that.
If a guy was like shooting heroin, what do you care as long as he's producing? All right. It's not your job as an employer to. I mean, you can see the way they're performing on the field pretty easily. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
You got the Jim Gray interview of the week. So you know it's about to get hot around here. And Teddy Bruschi speaks out about the videotaping incident, and it might not be the reaction you expect.
Oh, we'll figure that out in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That bumper, like the riff at the end.
Was that a Phil Vincent special? Was that Cranston coming through?
If you don't know Phil Vincent, I feel bad for you.
You don't know rock and roll.
I mean, you certainly don't know Cranston's Rhode Island's favorite
Shredder.
Mm-hmm. He's got tone down to the bone. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, what do we got going?
Well, yesterday was Monday, which means it was time for another edition of the Jim Gray Tom Brady Rubdown. In this week's edition, Jim has a nice long-winded question about videotaping things.
Tom, the Patriots are once again dealing with another issue off the field by this videographer that worked for Kraft Sports, taping the Bengals sidelines. The tape was played, just exactly what was captured when the Browns played the Bengals and taken by NFL security and Bengals security, which is not permissible. How has that affected you and your teammates?
Well, I think for all of us last week, other than hear about it, we got some information from our coach who said exactly what he said publicly. And, you know, for us players, we didn't give it 2 seconds of thought. And, you know, I focus on what my job is. My teammates did. We went out there. We played a tough game against Cincinnati. And we moved on. So I think what I've always learned about dealing with distractions is you can let them distract you or move on from them if they don't involve you. And that's worked for me for a long period of time. You know, that's what my process has been through this circumstance as well.
I do feel bad for all the players who have to answer these questions. I mean, you got to ask them, but I feel bad that they got to sit there and they're like, Jesus, man, we have nothing to do with
this. If I'm Brady, I would say this distracted the hell out of me just to try to give some reason for how bad he's been playing.
Well, maybe that's the case.
Like, I was just, oh, my goodness, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
It was in my head.
Yeah, I got on the field on Sunday, and it was just overwhelming.
Well, and talk of the Patriots and what their fine would be wasn't just prevalent on the weekly Jim Gray interview sponsored by Macy's. Macy's, where awkward interviews happen. But also on the ESPN pregame, where Teddy Bruschi, of all people, said what we've been saying for a week.
They've denied it, and Bill said that he has nothing to do with Kraft Productions. And I know Kraft Productions, and they're a separate part of the building, but however, Kraft Production is under the umbrella, which is the New England Patriots, so it looks bad. Him and Saban this week talking about their philosophies and why they're such great coaches, and then you get this. And all it does is open up that wound and open up that scab so everybody can just say they're cheaters once again. What were we thinking? I'm a member of the New England Patriots for my entire career, and I'm thinking, what were you thinking that this was a good idea to bring in a camera crew? Still, you want to do your job series? I've seen it. They're good little pieces, yes. But this one, they weren't thinking what it would perceive, how the optics were. The way it looks is terrible.
Yep. Well, thank you, Teddy Bruschi, and we are all missing the point. I hear these people screaming for the rafters. Hey, there's no competitive advantage. Have you seen the video? They use headsets. Do you think the team really wanted to spy on the Bengals? That's never been the point. And as Bruschi stated, and what we've been saying is that the Patriots were just so stupid to not think about what a bad idea all this was and how everyone should have known that you could not tape anywhere in that box and nobody did anything to stop it.
Have you heard what like people are saying is on the tape that hasn't been released?
What's that?
It's they never show the Cleveland sideline. It's entirely the Bengals sideline, and then it goes to the field to, like, the huddle, the Cincinnati huddle, and then it goes back to the Cincinnati sideline. So, I mean, listen, I saw the tape, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell you get from this, but from Merriweather to on down, I know Greg Bedard had a big thing that he talked to people around the league, and they're like, it's a very serious thing. So what do I know about it except that everyone in the league is pretty BS about it?
You know what I thought was pretty interesting? Dan Orlovsky, by the way, awful on the field, part of the 0-16 Detroit Lions team.
Legend in Detroit.
I'm sure he is. Never has to buy a drink there.
No.
But been pretty good on television, and he's been somebody who's been breaking down the difficulties with Tom Brady and how he's not getting help from his receivers, and Orlovsky's been pretty observant on a lot of this stuff, and he had one of the better points yesterday that I don't know if many people have thought of.
I know that everything gets radioed in. You know what happens a lot in Foxborough? Your radio goes out. So, I mean, I've been there before when the radio's out all game and you have to signal stuff in. You have to signal personnel. You have to signal plays. There's hand signals between coaches. You can absolutely gather something from that video if you're doing your job well enough.
That's pretty funny.
Well, Belichick even said that since they've gotten in trouble, they've kind of gone, they've held back a little bit on these techniques.
Yeah.
I mean, he admitted that they, I don't know. Everyone gets so pissed at me. I don't know. Well, he admitted
again,
that they
biased Patriots
the rules.
Fans can't say that we know for a fact that there are headset issues at Gillette Stadium. Right?
Oh, yeah, it happens all
remember
the time.
Mike Tomlin?
Yeah. He heard Zolak.
But, like, how can you defend this Patriots, Vince? It happened. It has happened multiple times.
Well, as I said, Bruschi, I've got the same exact opinion he does. Even if it's the most innocent thing ever, how nobody knew from the get-go that whole entire setup was just a bad idea and that it could backfire on you drastically. And now here we go.
And someone said that I heard this too, is that the guys like that were filming were like, oh, I'm just a freelance guy. Like,
oh, no. That was the statement they tried to throw.
But if you
first.
Go to his LinkedIn page, his job is a videographer for the Patriots.
No, what happened was in the statement from the Patriots, they made a point of putting that there were freelancers in there, where we found out the guy who was the producer, whose idea it was, who was videotaping it, is an 18-year employee of the Kraft Sports.
Yeah,
like 18 years, which happened, by the way, he was working there during Spygate, the original one. And you're telling me he didn't know you couldn't film the field?
And Spygate gave the same explanation as this, all that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I want to comment on the Patriots. I'm a diehard fan, love them, you know, through and thick and through. I want them fined $1.5 million. And I want them to lose a draft pick. This is ridiculous, dude. This is the second time they got caught being morons, okay? There's no excuse. Find them, lose the pick. That's what should happen.
You see,
Stop making excuses for you being morons.
That's the thing, Kevin, is that as a Patriots fan, you should be BS about this.
Yeah.
You should be, how you can sit there and go, how did you not know that this was going to backfire on you at some point? And the people trying to defend it, there's so many holes in the story right now. And even if you don't think it was nefarious, this was a bad idea from the get-go. Everyone in that operation should have known. The scout sitting next to the cameraman who's been working there since Spygate, they all knew that you can't film the field, and they did it anyway.
And if you look,
even if it was for the documentary, you knew you weren't supposed to do it.
Apparently, if you see the tape, it's obvious it's not for a documentary.
Do you think?
And then the guy, it's the same thing for Spygate. The guy had to take a dump, and here I am, and I'm not around.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt as far as the filming, because I know you said they filmed just the Bengals sideline. The documentary, if you believe it, was about him scouting the Bengals.
But
I can see why they would do that.
The same thing with the deflated balls. The guy had to take a dump, but so he went to the bathroom.
But that's different, too. But I'll defend that.
Everyone has to take a dump.
I can't.
Because in Deflategate, he went in, you could say he'd take a dump to deflate the balls. Yeah. Here, it's just like, why'd you take a dump? Or why'd you put it in the story?
Why'd you have to say it?
I had the squirts. Like, why did he put that in the statement?
Because he's explaining why he wasn't there. For the 8 minutes, because they want you to believe that no one knew about it. So they're like, all their excuse is always dumps.
I know. Well, I was taking a dump. It's the Ernie Adams show. Just tell them you're taking a dump.
But I mean, they've used that excuse before. Like, yeah. Why wasn't he there? Oh, he's taking a dump.
The other great excuse is that, all right, well, you couldn't learn anything from the tape. You know, you couldn't see much of what was going on. That doesn't matter. That should make you even more pissed. No, is that they got in trouble for getting zero amount of anything that would help.
Apparently, over the 8 minutes, if from people who have seen the tape, it's focused completely on the Cincinnati side. I mean,
well, that's what the tape we saw was. It was just the sidelines and the people running off of the field.
I guess it's more incriminating if you listen to Greg Bedard,
okay,
who is not exactly a Patriots hater. Steve, go ahead.
To the 2001 AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh, and they destroyed Pittsburgh, rightfully so, because Bill Cowher ran his big mouth about, oh, get your Super Bowl tickets now, this, that, and the other. But every single audible that the Steelers called, the Patriots' defense shifted and had a perfect defensive call every single time. This guy was on their staff for 18 years. Oddly enough, when did they win their first Super Bowl? 18 years ago. They're cheaters. They always have been. Teddy Bruschi can shut up. He's a cheater just like the rest of them.
He's not the one who cheated. Now, he might have benefited from information that was gleaned from Ernie Adams and all those guys.
If you're watching the film and they're giving you the singles.
I don't think it's that simple. I think what happens is that Ernie's kind of the guy who knows what's going on. He's trying to keep everyone else clean of the operation, and he just informs Belichick of here's what you need to instruct your players to do.
Yeah, and just back to that, Cordell Stewart was the quarterback back then. I know the team was good, but like, I think Bill Belichick could have figured that guy out. They didn't know what it was, okay?
All right. Well, listen, they're saying a third-round pick.
You know what it does sound like?
The money's irrelevant.
I'm getting this tweet, and it's kind of funny. I mean, of course, you know, Patriots fans are pissed about all this. And one said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. They got to get better at cheating. Like, I mean, they're getting caught too much. If you think that was cheating and they were legit, then they suck at it.
Everything is taking a dump. I mean, they've used that excuse. They couldn't come up with, he's like, well, gotta go to the bathroom.
That statement, but the friend, the thing about the statement for the videographer yesterday is the taking a dump comment came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it was just like, why did you put that in
the bathroom
there?
Came back.
Because what they're saying is, they were trying to go along the lines of, these are freelancers. They didn't know what they were doing. And the scout was there, but he had to go to the bathroom.
But the story was that the videographer set it all up and approved all of it.
Right.
So who cares if for a moment he walked away?
But it's gaslighting that it wasn't the scout who, I don't know. All I know is that they're always in the bathroom. That with the Deflategate, the kid went to the bathroom and locked the door, and then now the guy's taking a dump for the 8 minutes they're taping the thing.
Yeah, it goes, I just have to read this because it's too funny. We went directly to the press box and set up our camera to get the footage we needed. So, I mean, this is the guy who got suspended. We interviewed and we shot the Patriots scout sitting in a chair watching the action and panned back and forth from him to what he was seeing on the sidelines. We also took footage of the field as the intent was to show what he was looking at when he looked through his binoculars watching the game. Well, right in there, he just obviously admits it. And then, for no reason, but at that point, I went to the restroom. And when I came back, my cameraman was told to stop shooting by someone from the NFL, and he was joined by two others from the Bengals organization. Why did you put that you were taking a dump?
Because he says that it's just some, you know, jabroni camera guy, and it wasn't me.
But the sentences before it says he's the one who set up the camera and filmed the field.
I think that the idea is that when he left, the cameraman went rogue.
Somebody said to properly punish the Patriots, give them an additional first round pick to blow it on a player they won't use.
Yeah, well, you know.
When Tom Brady's not here, though, they need that.
Yeah. So third round pick and money. That's what people are saying.
If they get docked a third round pick and money, that is good news. Because think of what they got for Spygate, and I've said this before, when you get punished twice for the same thing and you were warned, the second punishment is almost never lesser than the first.
I think this guy should get suspended. That's what I think they should do. It's a game
videographer
day.
Is.
You've had two game day violations, possibly three. So like the third time, come on, someone's gonna have to get suspended.
Right.
Three game day violations in 20 years. Maybe. I'm sure other people have had them too, but this guy's been here the whole time.
Well, maybe they'll send him off and he can live in the woods.
I'd rather him than anybody else, right?
Right.
He's the fall guy.
Yeah, well.
You know, gotta have a fall guy.
Be careful when you go to the bathroom, because all hell breaks loose. Just ask the Patriots. All right, Rich, when we come back, what we discuss?
Well, we got a little competition going on. Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. And who's going to be the most awesome guy on Twitter after the other one causes a record and all that crap? Tom Brady always just, you got to congratulate people, but then put a winky emoji.
All right, we will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Search the Sports Hub. All right, Rich, what is going on?
It will be a moment we'll remember for a lifetime. Finally, the record will be broken.
We've been through this before. A year ago for the other record, the passing yardage record. But they came down to the field for that one. This is a little different as it's going to be active battling Brady. Will he get history here? Going for it. Scrambling, looking to the end zone. And there it is. A history maker is his for the moment, depending on the flag. Flag is down in the end zone. They're already celebrating, but they're going to want to check on this.
Pass interference. Offense, number 10. It's a 10-yard penalty. Replay, second down.
Oh, if that isn't this season in a nutshell, then I don't know what is. Drew's family, friends, already right coming down to the field, ready to congratulate Brees on breaking Peyton's record, but then the softest offensive pass interference call that just continues the year of the ref. Just a perfect moment right before halftime. Crowd goes crazy, and some jackass had to throw a flag on a penalty that was barely a penalty at all. However, history will be legitimately made, and it was several minutes after that.
19 straight completions now for Drew Brees that ties his career high in a game. But I think he's searching for another mighty mark. Will he get it here? Yes! Touchdown pass, 5-4-0 in the 5-0-4.
Oh, God. Tessitore was just Sarge in it the entire time. I mean, before every single pass. I mean, by the way, he is morphing into Sarge. Every single pass, it was like, is this going to be the one? Aha! Uh-huh.
Everyone's on the edge of their seat. Was he looking at the camera and going, ah? Uh-huh.
Right. That, you know what? You're exactly right. Dan just said that is the Y-E-Ang. Y-E-S.
Yes. When you know you're calling something as epic as that, you got to have something in your pocket.
Of course. And he had it ready to go. That's right.
Y-E-S.
I mean, that's one of the worst. This one's for all the Tostitos. But there it is. Not only does Drew Brees break the record, but had the most accurate game in NFL history. He was 29 for 30. That is 96.7%. 307 yards. Four touchdowns. If he doesn't throw another completion, his 96% single game completion percentage, that would set another NFL record right there. So there you go. And he did.
He really was awesome last night.
Yeah, he was great. And that knocks the Colts right out of the playoffs.
Who paid Andrew Luck, by the way, this year. Brissett gets $13 million. Hoyer's got like $9 million on there. So they're paying like $35 million for a quarterback. And I think they still need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Brissett, I know he's had a nice season, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. No, they need,
they need to draft a quarterback or bring or get something and try to get something going in free agency.
I just think you need one more year with him. I think you need one more year to get him comfortable.
Will Reich hang around? Will they be able to keep him?
Like, let's Reich's been great.
Like, what, can they go 8-8 again? Well, they're going to go like 7-9 this year.
Hopefully not. I mean, hopefully they go in the right. I mean, listen, it was a. I think that Jacoby Brissett did better than most people had expected
His year in there. Which was not anything.
It was not a lot. And as I said, that doesn't mean that he's the answer.
No.
I just think you can't look at this one year and decide whether or not he's a good quarterback.
Well,
you've got to give him one more year.
You're going to have to bring in someone at least to compete with him.
True.
I mean, the Titans brought in Tannehill. Look, they're hanging around still right now.
Yeah.
They had Mariota. They drafted, what, 2 overall?
Number 2, yes.
Yeah, RG3 went first that year, right? Yeah, that was the big discussion as to who was going to be the best. But here's Drew Brees afterwards.
No, Winston went number 1 in that draft.
Okay. I thought it was RG and Luck. RG and Luck. That's what it was. It was RG3 and Luck. You're right.
Yes.
Okay, I forgot about that. Okay, here's Drew Brees.
Pretty incredible moment to be able to share something like this with my team and the Houdat Nation and everybody here in the Superdome tonight, and my family and friends. You know, you don't really think about these things, especially when you first enter this league. But this was a special night and one we'll always remember.
So Tom Brady afterwards tweeted, by the way, Tom Brady, 2 touchdown passes behind Drew Brees right now. And he said, congrats, Drew.
You might not get him.
Well, he said, couldn't be more deserving. Passing Peyton is an incredible achievement, and your records will be tough to beat, but it's worth trying. Wink emoji.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of people saying that, you know, maybe this weekend Tom Brady will do it. And I saw Michael Hurley yesterday, who, by the way, was always never passes up a chance to praise the Patriots. And even in this case, he was like, well, listen, Brady has 6 games with 0 touchdowns since 2017. Half of them have come against the Bills.
Yep.
And Brady's 45.9 rating at Buffalo in Week 4, his lowest mark of the season by a wide margin. Mm-hmm. It is going to be tough. That defense, and they've only gotten better since the beginning of the year. Yeah. They look really, really good.
I think what Brees has done has been better than what Brady's done. Like, Brady obviously has won 6 Super Bowls, but the fact that Brees has this touchdown record in less games than Brady... you know, maybe it's the offensive league or playing in the NFC that's been different, but I don't know, just looking at Brees' history, this guy had a major shoulder injury, was passed up by the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Was given a, you know, Philip Rivers came in and they gave him a deal and the Saints ended up giving him more money. And now he's been he's never in the conversation when it comes to Manning and Brady. He's always like 3rd, 4th.
And he's playing at a high level at an older age. Yes.
He's better than Brady. Right now, he is.
Oh yeah, he's better than Brady right now.
I mean, yeah, I mean, and it's not just because he has better weapons. He's a better quarterback right now. Like, I mean, the guy's got a better arm.
But how come he's not considered like the GOAT or anything like?
Because he hasn't won 6 Super Bowls.
Well, he's played one, but I mean, he got hurt a couple times.
Simple. I mean, he hasn't won. As great as his stats are. You know, is Dan Marino considered one of the best? Is he the GOAT? Is he in the discussion for the GOAT? No.
I think Dan Marino is one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time.
But you're saying, why is Drew Brees?
Yeah, I get it. I get the Super Bowl angle of it. It's just, I feel like this guy.
You feel he's underrated.
I mean, he has won a Super Bowl. I don't know. Sean Payton's had his issues too, I guess.
It's because Tom Brady has that clutch gene. And that's the thing that makes you the greatest of all time. And you've seen it at the end of games and the end of games that matter.
Well, if they hadn't blown that call a couple years ago, maybe Brees has 2 Super Bowls.
Last year.
Nope, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And I mean, he's obviously unbelievably talented. It is weird, though. That record is just a regular season record, right? Mm. Yeah, because if you add Tom Brady's touchdowns
Brady's
in there.
Brady's far and away.
Well, he's got 610.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tom Brady, without a doubt, has thrown more touchdown passes than Drew Brees, but, you know, that's just a regular season deal there. So, most accurate game in history. I find that to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't find out what happened on the drop ball. Like, was it a drop ball or was it a bad pass, the one that he missed? 29 for 30.
I wonder if it was that pass interference. I don't know.
No, I don't think they
wouldn't
call
have
that.
Counted,
I
wouldn't yeah.
count that. All right, what do you got coming up, Rich?
All right, let's talk about a little situation that's going on with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, just when you think that he's gone as crazy as he's going to get, he did it again yesterday.
Yeah, he's doing himself a lot of favors. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Am I the only one not hearing myself?
I can hear you.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Sub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Can we just take line two real quick? I just want to take this.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard Rich say that Drew Brees has a better arm than Tom Brady. I had to turn down the radio to zero and call in immediately because, Rich, you're crazy. I mean, Drew Brees is one of the worst arms in the league. I mean, if he looks like a noodle arm, Peyton Manning out there. Tom Brady can say whatever you want about the time that he has in the pocket and how he looks statistically. But, I mean, if you had the same time that Drew Brees had, his stats would be just as good, and you know that.
Hang on. You think that this year Tom Brady has a better arm than Drew Brees?
Yes. Did you see that bullet that he threw to Harry in the end zone? What are you watching?
What are you smoking if
need,
you think Tom Brady?
It's a hybrid, actually. I'm on my way to work.
Well, good. You know, you're talking Joe Murray's language. It's a wake and bake situation. I respect that, man.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I would listen. There's no argument. And Matt, I understand you're a big fan. And they're both at their best. I would obviously say Brady was the better one. But right now, this year, dude, you saw him sky over guys. His elbow's screwed up. Even if you want to go like just from this past week, if you want to use the N'Keal Harry pass as an example, then you better use everything else from that game as an example. And then take a look at what Drew Brees did yesterday.
He doesn't have time to step into his throws, Rich.
Oh, boy. Well, I can't have a discussion with you, Matt. You're not watching these games if you think Tom Brady this year has a better arm than Drew Brees.
Go into a corner for 15 minutes, have some folks call in, take the calls. I mean, I'm telling you, that's what's up. He has a better arm. Everything else is true. But he's dead. Have a good day. Gotta go into work.
All right, see you, man. Enjoy it.
Completely disagree. I mean, listen, Drew Brees had a major shoulder injury and still has a better arm than Tom Brady. Like, yeah, Brady's accurate from 5 to 10 yards, right?
Yes.
What's his average? 5.5?
I mean, it's not very long this year, right?
Yeah, and granted, yeah, I understand that Brees is a better offensive line, but Brees is 5'10".
It's all about hand size.
His hand size is small. That's why he was criticized at Purdue.
Well, no, but they said that for a man his size, he has large hands. I've met the man.
It's like shaking bananas. Oh, yeah, we've talked to him.
Can we stop, guys? Brady's great, but like Drew Brees was better than Tom Brady physically. Peyton Manning was better. There are other guys that are Jameis Winston has more physical. Like, there are other guys that have more physical ability than Tom Brady. It's okay. Tom Brady just wins football games. But that's the difference, people.
But before the season, they were talking about how hard he could throw. I don't even remember what.
Yeah, it was like, 80 miles or something. 80.
I thought it was 90, like 60 or something.
60
like
miles per hour. Yeah, that's what it was.
I thought it was 60.
65. No, Brady can throw. But how's he throwing now?
But listen, he's not playing well.
Yeah, his Patriots fans are killing me today. Drew Brees has been a better passer for 5 years, at least. I understand Brady's won 6 Super Bowls, but Drew Brees
what makes him great. It's the clutch gene. It's knowing what to do. It's obviously being able to read defenses better than anybody else. I mean, he's the best for a reason. He's the greatest of all time. And that shirt that somebody tweeted me that said Drew Brees the GOAT on, it's pretty hysterical. I love unlicensed NFL merchandise. Like stuff that some guy just sells at like Walmart. It's the best.
You can't sell it at Walmart. You can't sell. You got to sell it outside.
Well, no, there are Walmart shirts that are unlicensed for teams. I've seen it before. Like a bunch.
That's like a pirate ship.
May I also just throw in there that like he has one receiver to throw to. Michael Thomas. That's it. He's thrown like Ted Ginn in the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, Michael Thomas is first in the league in targets, and Julian Edelman is second in the league in targets.
Who's got more catches? Like, Michael Thomas catches everything.
No, Michael Thomas is obviously a far better receiver than Julian Edelman.
Far better receiver. Better. Oh, don't let God.
Is he about to set a record, I think?
Yes, he will.
I think Michael Thomas this year is on pace to set. Is it past?
Michael Thomas, no one's arguing that Thomas is better than Edelman.
Who does Drew Brees throw to? Name besides Jared Cook and Thomas and Ted Ginn, does he throw the football to?
All that matters is this guy thinks that Tom Brady this year has a better arm than Drew Brees, and it's just not true.
All right, this is very sportsy.
Brees plays indoors. I get it, people.
I just thought it was funny.
No, it's fine. Zach, go ahead.
Hi. I think Tom Brady has a better arm physically, but Drew Brees is a way more accurate passer than Tom Brady this year. I mean, Tom Brady made his bread and butter throwing accurate passes 5 to 10 yards. But I think he has a better gun than Drew Brees, hands down.
Well, all right, even if you believe that, I mean, Brady's he struggled a lot throwing the long ball, and so throwing anything over 10 yards, and that's been for a while now. His deep ball has not been very good.
Sure. I mean, how many times have you seen him go back and just chuck it, and your first reaction is, well, this is going over the sidelines. Like, he's doing this because he's throwing it away. Like, it's this year, unfortunately, that's kind of become the expectation when you see him go back. It's like, this one's going out of bounds. He's just trying to get rid of it. Just trying to throw it away.
And I get it. Tom Brady should be applauded for playing outdoors and playing in the cold.
He should, and you should consider that.
Drew Brees plays indoors.
You're dismissing that, but that's a huge factor. I mean, Drew Brees, for how many years has been in a dome now? That's a factor.
Why is it hard for people to credit other players? The guy is good. I'm not saying you guys. Drew Brees is a damn good football player. Like, he's going to be a free agent. And, like, somebody should pick him up. Dallas? I don't know. Somebody.
This is the second year of that deal?
It is. It's his last year. They're not going to let him go. They'll never let him go.
And his number, like Brady got $26 million this year.
Yeah, he's
nowhere going to get that.
It's a completely different situation than Tom Brady. For some reason, the Patriots and the Crafts are having a hard time giving Brady the kind of money that he would. The Saints would never let Drew Brees walk. They worship him. That city loves him so much, and they'll pay him ridiculous money to keep him around.
I'd say that's the exact same thing that's happening here, except Belichick. Belichick is the only difference. Is Belichick has no loyalty to anyone,
and you might be right.
Slater.
And that might be the reason why the Patriots win so much and the Saints have won one.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is cutthroat, but when you're saying the whole city loves Brees, I mean, this city is insane about Brady.
And you're
saying that the ownership loves him up until the ownership has told me how much they love Brady. I mean, they're obsessed with him.
They haven't told Brady, because if they did, they'd pay him.
That's the thing, is that this year is different, and that's what people have been saying this entire time, is that this year is different. But everything that applies to Drew Brees in terms of everything you just mentioned, at least until this year, applied to Tom Brady. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.